Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG Pod Overflow, the Cinephobe Cold Opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
You said the OG Pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG Pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG Pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP, that's 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY, or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Yo, asshole! This motherfucker's dead!
Ain't no Chris Angel mind freak David Blaine trapdoor horse shit jumping off here!
Hey, you want to get on the train here, or you want to ruin another take, huh?
There ain't no goddamn takes. Ain't no goddamn motion picture.
You sure?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
For certain, man.
Why are you still in character?
I know, but I don't have to tell you.
You don't know?
Man, I don't drop character till I've done a DVD commentary.
Start. Can I just say that, yo, my team's nice as shit.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to put that out there. Before, I know we don't talk hoop, but I just want to say my team nice as shit. That's all. I suppose.
Here's the problem.
Please don't give me like the X and O's. What reason why we're not?
It's not even that. It's just I want you to be prepared for the other side of the mountain. Right now you're at the top of the mountain. Come down the mountain, like I don't want to see you crushed, man.
It's the other side of the mountain, not being going to the state, because I'm prepared for that.
Okay.
Other side of the mountain is not going to the finals. Maybe not even get to the conference finals.
He's content with the regular shit right now, and that's fine.
You're smoking crack if you think we're not going to make the Eastern Conference Finals. That's crazy talk.
Finals, fam.
No, I mean, listen. The finals.
The NBA finals is what matters, bro.
I mean, you act like Jerbs. You're acting like the Raptors, the Bucks, and the Celtics ain't shit. Like when you say, "Oh, you bugging if they don't make the conference finals,"
I don't think they're not shit. I just think we're better than them.
But you can understand like a scenario where they don't make the conference finals because you have to play one of these really hard teams, right?
I can understand it. I can see it, but I don't understand.
All right, so I'm not smoking crack then. So if I said the Pacers are gonna make it, then I'd be smoking crack.
But. Yeah, you're smoking crack. You said the Pacers are making it. Yes, I apologize. I take that back.
All right, man. That's all I ask for.
You can't just be real, fellas.
Let's be real, fellas.
Okay.
I was talking about Jerv. and his gas dreams. That's like your dad going. Think about it. The crazy pop in the hood. And my man be like, "Yo, I'll be right back," and he go see his other family, and you be still waiting.
Nah, don't do me like that.
That's them hopes, bro.
Nah, like, yo, I got a potential MVP. I have a 6'11 point guard who's getting better every fucking game. I got a dude that's, I fool with Tobias Heavy. I've always liked this game, but you know, I got a dude that's better than anything I could have got to fill the role we needed. You know, I mean, as long as they add one or two, I mean, if they could get a veteran buyout at the March 1st, I'm good.
Yo, you guys ever know? Well, Trey, you didn't notice this, but Jerv, you ever notice how expensive kids' shoes be?
Yes,
I
just bought my daughter a pair of the Concords, and she just crossed over. She just crossed over the kid to big kid. $170, fam.
Nah, man.
$170?
Hey, Jerv.
I only did it because
Jerv, holler at me.
I did start to hit you too, to be honest with you. I did. Cause I got the one on the way, so I bought my youngin' a pair of the Concord little knit Jones. I refuse to spend like real money on them shits. But let me look out for everybody. But I had already said I was going to do it before I checked the fucking price. Dumb move. Jesus Christ.
I'm out here, man. I'm looking, and we getting some regular Nike running shoes, man. Because here's the part that hurt my feelings. I said, I'm going to go into Skechers. Skechers would be cheap. Them bastards expensive as hell, too. I'm like, where do Skechers get off?
Dude,
$50 sneakers.
This ain't 10 years ago, fam. Skechers is a wave.
Bro, I told y'all, holler at me, man.
All right, man. I got you.
Listen, you only got to tell me one time, bro. I'm hollering at you.
As soon as this podcast is over, I'm hitting you up. I need to make a purchase right away.
Hell yeah.
And you know, I can buy my stuff in twos, man. The twins, man. They're the same size, thankfully, yeah.
Okay,
but they can't share one pair of sneakers.
I literally just showed y'all right now in the chat, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I see it.
Okay. No, I'm talking about the how much you save in family.
Oh my god! But yeah, no. But man, like even like these are great savings. But I'm like, they're kids, man. Why is the sale price this expensive? Like,
hey, just because they got the Nike sign don't mean that they gonna look out for the kids.
Come on, man. Like, well, I'm out here on Zappos, like, yo, what y'all got for me in the under $40 section? They got three shoes under 40, man. Hey, Jay.
Yes.
When's the last time you went to a doctor for like your for the sniffles or something like that?
I'm telling you, man, I just I'm the type of guy that just doesn't like to go to the doctors. So I will do anything.
Shocker.
I'll do my own research. I'll Google home remedies for even very scary situations. It's not a good thing for me.
Isn't it weird? But like, I want to make fun of you for this, but I feel like this is most guys. Most guys don't like going to the doctor. Like, you can have something falling off your face. You're like, I'm fine. I just put some, rub some Tussin into it and then we'll be straight, right?
I always thought it was me, but it turns out I think it's a lot of us.
It's a guy thing. It's a guy thing. And here's the crazy part, man. There are guys that are suffering from erectile dysfunction and they still won't get help. They still, like you said, looking for home remedies and, maybe if I drink more water, all I got to do is getting like Tiger Balm and rubbing weird stuff on themselves. And I'm just like, yo, you know you don't have to go through this. You can see a doctor. And guess what, Jay? Don't even have to see a doctor in person. Yeah, dude, that's right.
This is actually news to me. And exciting news.
This is available. You don't have to go see a doctor. You can just go through Roman, a one-stop shop where licensed U.S. physicians can diagnose ED and ship medication right to your door. So basically, you do your consultation over the internet with a licensed physician. It's a real doctor. They make you go through a questionnaire. They ask you a bunch of things. And, when you are basically diagnosed, they will then write you a prescription. And then you don't even have to go to the pharmacy, Jay. You know how sometimes you go, you fill out a prescription and you're like, you know, the pharmacist know what this medication is for. It's a little embarrassing. Roman took out all of the embarrassment. Not only do you not have to see the doctor face to face, but also your medication gets mailed to you in a discreet packet. So people don't know that, you know, what you're getting in the mail.
I mean, I can't believe this is like the future, this situation.
Jade, I'm telling you, the future is now, man. Everything is a lot easier in the internet age. Here's what you do. You handle everything discreetly online. All you got to do is visit GetRoman.com/BOM, for Black Opinions Matter. Fill out a brief medical onboarding, chat with a doctor, get FDA-approved ED meds delivered to your door in discreet, unmarked packaging. Go online and get checked by the doctor. ED is a problem that guys don't tackle, but with Roman, it's really easy, so take care of it. For a free online visit, go to GetRoman.com/BOM. That's GetRoman.com/BOM for a free online visit. GetRoman.com/BOM.
Wait till Waz hears about this.
We got a fun rundown today.
Dude, there's so many questions I have here, man.
Okay.
I want to see where to start with. First of all, is our guest going to be on?
I know. Yeah, I was going to bring him on right now, but I told Rob to call. So.
Okay. You want to bring on the guest right now? Now that we got the now we're going to get into the topics?
Yeah, because he's going to hang out the whole show.
Okay, good deal. All right, bring the guest on. We got a special guest for y'all today. We're trying to step it up here on Bomb. You know, not the regular, the usual voices you hear all the time. We're going to get some variety Hello. In here.
Yo, Hello. What up?
Yo, what's good?
What's good, Kyle?
What's going on?
What's up, man? Yo, we got Kyle Anderson from the Memphis Grizzlies, a.k.a. Slow-Mo, on the line. Kyle, did Trey tell you the nature of this podcast at all, or did he just say hop on?
He gave me a little rundown, but go ahead and drop the nature of it.
All right, so basically, it started as an ESPN podcast where we talk about hoop and we talk about other things around hoop culture, whatever. So Trey, I want to start with Trey. Your Instagram story had me confused as shit. Like, is the blackface thing, like, was it created by a black dude? Was it not?
It was created by a black dude. And it's the dude named Patrick Kelly.
If I say his own name,
yeah. So
Blackface Kelly.
Yeah. So Patrick Kelly was actually one of the first fashion designers, like African American fashion designers, like accepted in like pretty much Paris and doing all the stuff Kanye wanted to do at the time, back in the '80s. What he did was try to pretty much change the meaning of the blackface. by putting on his clothes and kind of like handing it to like a bunch of white people and making them uncomfortable. He felt like, you know, at that time his grandma was like a worker and stuff like that. And he said that that was one of the inspirations of like, you know, a kind of a tribute to his grandma. Like, look, this is how y'all looked at us, but I'm going to change the view on it. You know, I'm going to attempt to change the view on it. Right. So this cat ends up like blowing the fashion world out of the water. You know what I mean? Pretty much was the first fashion designer to allow non-proportioned women on the runway. You know what I'm saying?
So hold on. So you're saying he had some thick girls out there?
Or he has some thick joints out there. You know what I'm saying? Right? So then after that, you know, he was the first guy to actually have the hearts on his clothes. So Comme des Garçons took that from him. He died in the 90s at 1990 of AIDS, right? And everybody's just been remixing his stuff, but not paying homage. So
what we're saying right now, so a couple of things. So the reason why we're bringing this all up, because apparently this week, New York Fashion Week, Prada and Gucci both unveiled some blackface based fashion, right? One was like a scarf or whatever. I saw the one model with the scarf and got the big the big watermelon lips. It's a sweater.
Yeah, it's a sweater.
All right. So, and then the other one was like a bag and it had like the pickaninny. If you don't know what a pickaninny is, it's like back in the days, like they would have like in the black and white movies, they'd have black people with mad fucked up nappy hair and like just big old eyes and stuff like that, and like wearing a maid outfit or dressed like a savage or whatever or something. So they had those things going on this week at New York Fashion Week. But Trey, you're saying that they were ripping off my man Patrick Kelly and his designs from 20 years ago or 30 years ago?
Yeah, and that the whole thing is that they didn't expect the backlash because they thought it was okay. But it's kind of like, if you don't go with no context, that's kind of like Kanye tweeting out some wild shit and don't follow up with it. You know what I'm saying? And it looked crazy as hell, too, until you go do the research. But still, I know Dapper Dan has officially put on his story that I guess the head execs from Gucci is coming to Harlem to come speak to him and apologize to the black community. But I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, so I still think it's fake outrage.
Was they ripping off or was they paying homage?
They weren't paying homage because they didn't mention anything about it.
Right.
They just thought it was their creativity. You know what I mean? Like of them doing something new and
cool. But if they mentioned them, how is that paying homage?
I mean, I guess my thing is if you look at it, you know this is some real racially charged type stuff, right?
Exactly. So
the only way me as a company, I could be like, oh, no, I'm not doing this. Like, out of my mind, I'm paying homage to this black dude who came up with it. That's the only way I would think that they would think it's safe. But if they're not saying the dude's
name, they didn't say anything about it. And for it to be rolled out, like, during Black History Month and all that other stuff, like, they backfired. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's even...
Maybe I'm missing it. You're trying to say... So, you're telling me that the dude that you said that passed that created that was the first black designer or whatever with him, he came up with this design of these black faces. Like, this is his design. This is his concept. He came up with
that's his design.
That still doesn't make it cool for me.
I mean, I'd understand it more. I'd understand.
Do you?
Maybe not. But
do you really understand?
I mean, listen. This is the thing. This is the thing, Jerv. It might not be right. Listen, Jerv, it might not be right, but you have to look at the understanding of, like, pretty much he said that he's trying to change, like, this is not who we are, pretty much. That's what he was trying to change the whole meaning of what that represented and flip it into something positive. You know what I'm saying? Because it made a lot of people uncomfortable. And everybody backed him in the 80s, way before, like, when this wasn't even really a, you know what I mean? Like, when that stuff was even like not even crazy, like how it is now. So,
but now it's man, we're gonna get to that in a second. But Kyle, let me ask you, man, if you knew that this was created by a black dude, right? Let's say we was back like 1989 or whatever, and you knew like, yeah, some blackface thing, but it's a black dude who created it. Would you rock it?
Nah, because you don't really know who could be behind the black dude, you know? Like, I don't think that makes it right at all, you know? Like, I still don't think that makes it cool like that, you know? That just ain't it, you know?
Representing
that image on clothes, just, you know, I just don't find that to be it, you know? Even if it was a black dude back then, but... I mean, I don't know. I don't know that much in debt, so
you know what this reminds me of? When Drake had those pictures surface during the Pusha T beef.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Like, you know, yeah. At the end of the day, he still did it.
Yeah, he still did it. But hey, he got off clean though. Nobody gave him shit for nothing. That's the crazy thing about
it. It's a little bit different because Drake's got
He's paid.
I don't know his 100% background, but he's got some black in him, right? So like we can look at that slightly different.
You know, gonna hold on, Jerm. Come on, man. You don't 100% know that his dad's black. You didn't know that?
No. I mean, like I know that his dad is. I knew his dad was a person of color. I didn't know if his dad was black or if he was like mixed with something else. Like
Come on, what? No, Jerm. Now you wild.
No, man. I'm not. Oh, see, I sound like that guy. I'm not trying to be that guy.
His pops is from Memphis. He's black. He's beige.
Black, Jerf?
My mom's from Philadelphia, but my mom's not. I mean, my mom was raised in Philadelphia, but she's not from Philadelphia. She's West Indian. So, like, just because his pop claims Memphis doesn't mean his pop was born in fucking Memphis. His pop could be fucking Caribbean or some shit.
Well, his pop wears suits with the
same. Damn, you signed a 21 Savage
Bruh, if you in Memphis, dog, you gonna rock some fucking suits, fam. Like, you gonna rock suits if you're in Memphis. You know, no shot at Memphis, but you gonna rock suits if you're in Memphis. That's like saying somebody from Detroit, like, oh, he's from Detroit. Yeah, he rocks Gators. Like, what the fuck?
Yo, first of all, Kyle, I want to introduce you to this. Have you ever heard of the term beige? Like, beige being a certain kind of black person. Have you ever heard this, Kyle?
A beige?
Yeah.
No, I never heard that type.
So, hey, you might be beige on the low.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
What is that?
Kev the Barber, who's on the line with us, Kev the Barber, because we were saying that light-skinned people are temperamental, and then Kev the Barber wanted to say, well, no. There's a difference between light-skinned and beige. And his thing is that if you have a black parent and then a non-black parent, and you come out light-skinned looking, you're not actually light-skinned, you're beige. But if you have two black parents, so Steph Curry is light-skinned and Klay Thompson is beige, basically. Am I hitting that right, okay. Kev? Is that the
matter? Yeah, because Steph's mom and dad is black, Klay's mother is white. So,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I never heard of that before. I mean, I thought it was light-skinned.
It's because it originated with me. I just figured.
That's how it comes out. You started it. No wonder.
Oh, you're the founder.
Talk that talk, Kev.
Hey, make sure next year we give a Black History homage to Kev for this.
This is my movement. And beige history is only on the 29th of February.
that's a sick ass day, dog. That's a sick day.
My theory behind it, again, I'll say, like I said, everybody, white people are white, black people are black, you know, Indians are red, or, you know, everybody got their own colors, but mixed people, like people of two different races, we don't have a color. So I said, fuck it, we beige. When you put creamer and coffee, it turns beige.
Y'all niggas like Honey Dijon or something.
That's fine. I'll take that. All of that. We can be Dijon color, but waffle. I like hey.
Nah, waffle dog. Color. I ain't taking Honey Dijon, dog. I'm not taking that.
That's a sick description. Could you imagine on the 90s and you're doing the party line or something like that and the chick asks what you look like and you like, yeah, my skin tone is Honey Dijon. I got hazel eyes. Ronnie Romance looking ass niggas, man.
Yeah, y'all motherfuckers must be hungry or some shit. Like, describing everything by food.
we out on Gucci or what?
That's what I was gonna ask. I want to go around the table. Yeah. Is Gucci and Prada out? Like, because I have
I have items that were going to make an appearance at All-Star Weekend. Now they can't make an appearance no more.
Don't be that guy, man.
Dog. Prada ain't never been in for me. But I'm not about to take everything out my Gucci wallet and put my Gucci wallet in a drawer until it's cool again.
What if it get cool again?
I mean, it's going to get cool.
Hey, it's going to get cool because it's supposed to.
No, remember Cristal. No one drinks. No, Cristal got killed forever. Forever, ever, ever. No one ever drinks it again.
Shout out the big homie.
Kyle, are you throwing out your Gucci and your Prada?
Man, I ain't going to go as far as throw it out. No, I can't do that.
Yeah, that's a waste of bread, bro.
Right, exactly. That's just stupid. That ain't.
Thousands of dollars.
I'm just saying, right. my thing gonna sit in its little drawer and wait for the day where I see everyone.
I actually wanna thank Gucci, dog, because they made this movement helped Soulja Boy take that dirty ass headband off. Hey, that headband probably smell like hot dog water.
Oh, Dominguez locker room.
This is crazy. So Gucci and Prada is out temporarily. Is that the ruling? Temporarily.
Well, they got Montclair too, though. Montclair out too.
I don't even know what Montclair is, man. Damn. What's Montclair?
I'm a broke boy, man.
I am just broke.
Got some
boy.
AirPods.
Broke boy status. I'm the mayor of this shit, man.
You know what's crazy? I want to thank whoever started the movement of adding waves and AirPods to like random people. That's the best shit on the internet right now. somebody put the J. Cole cut on Coach K and I lost it.
Oh man, my favorite one was they had magic with the waves and the AirPods in. Oh man, so the blackface doesn't just stop at the Prada and the Gucci. Now everyone's doing the lame thing that everyone does on the internet now, which is we go back in history and find every instance of anyone doing anything. The thing that they came up with was Jimmy Kimmel had a blackface skit. Billy Crystal like dressed up like you, Sammy Davis Jr., put on blackface, and Gene Wilder and Stir, was it Stir Crazy where he put on the shoe polish?
Come on, man, get some jive going. Be cool, shake it, but don't break it. Hey, man, how do I look? You look sharp, mister. I feel sharp. You hear? I feel like it's 10 around midnight. You dig? Get down.
Yeah, but I was hoping that you mentioned that, because then my thing is, was that really blackface or was that him just trying to like get out of trouble?
Hey, so that Karl Malone shit was hilarious.
That's where I want to like kind of draw a line, and I don't know if this line is just my trying to justify things or if it makes sense. But my thing is this: if you are a comedian, like, I'm more willing to listen or to allow it to happen than just like a dude going to a Halloween party. I'm not here for the Halloween party or the frat parties or whatever.
You know, man, Regis folks. I've seen Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and guess what? Not a lot of black folks on the show.
Right.
Not a lot of black folks on the show. Know why? Because black folks don't like to answer questions.
But like, if Billy Crystal is doing a sketch as so-and-so, like, I don't know how to explain it. It sounds like I'm justifying this shit. I don't know. Go ahead.
No, because what's the name? Did it in what was that? Trading Places too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. Dan Aykroyd. But that's different.
That's a movie, though.
Gene Wilder did it in a movie. So are we calling that blackface? That was a movie. A comedian does it for a skit. Are we calling that blackface? No, it's just
fake outrage, Kev. That's what it is.
Okay.
Niggas is, hey, we just want to have a reason to be mad at this point,
but
I feel.
But nah, like, don't do that, yo, because they give us reasons to be mad.
Yeah, not for this shit, though, Jerv.
Why not?
Not for this, Jerv. Nope.
Why
I ain't
not?
Rolling. I ain't rolling.
So you are, what you mean?
Pride you pulling up the past? You pulling up that?
Hey, man, you can't shake the past.
I'm cool. Hey, some of that shit, Hey, the same shit you get hot out about that we can't say.
It's wrong with
all you. All that living color shit. Come on, bro. I ain't getting hot at that.
Hey, man, listen. If we don't pay attention to the past, we'll never know where we're going.
This nigga, man. Yo, typewriter, keyboard warrior ass nigga, man.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, but where's the line, though? Where's the line? Is that the line? Because what if it's someone who's not funny? That's my thing. When I said that, I was like, wait, what if it's someone?
Bro, they
I don't
tried
like?
To bring up Tropic Thunder the other day. I got
pissed. Yeah, like Tropic Thunder, that was the whole point of the joke. The whole point of the joke was this dude was so much in character that he would actually get his skin tone pigmented to be true to the character. That was the whole point of the joke. It's not me. See, I guess. Oof, I don't know, man. I still feel like I'm justifying, but I feel like
they're reaching, bro.
No, you're not reaching, bro. It's that we deserve a little bit more credit to have some thought put to it, right? So like with Tropic Thunder and Trading Places and shit like that, we're educated enough to know that that's comedy, and we can accept it for that. But if it's not. If this is just a general movie and someone has blackface on, or if you're trying to profit off of blackface, that's the difference.
We're talking about the skits right now. This is what we're talking about. The Jimmy Kimmels, the Jimmy Fallons, or whoever, and they're digging up 90 skits, right? And trying to say, okay, how did this slide? Like, half of you motherfuckers was little kids and y'all didn't see it, and that shit didn't cause an uproar.
Sometime at night, Paul Malone look up in sky and say, what the hell going on up there? Do UFO live on other planet, phoning home like E.T.? Paul Malone read on TV about white people getting deducted by alien, sticking all kind of hell up their butt. And that's a damn thing.
That's the same as like going back and trying to dissect Eddie Murphy Raw and complain about the F scene.
People do. Like that shit got brought up when Kevin Hart went through his shit.
Again, but I mean, at the end of the day, you can't dig that up because it's a different type of time.
Because back then, the whole problematic word, that it was irrelevant. Like the problematic movement that's going on right now, all of that was it was semi irrelevant, not
Yo,
really
Kyle.
Irrelevant. But it didn't cause as much of an uproar as it does now.
But so also, I think that Eddie has been in the cut for a minute.
And that's Jason Madison, by the way.
If Eddie was to pop out right now and do some shit, you think they wouldn't be digging all in that, you know what I'm saying, delirious and raw shit, trying to bring it up? Like, you know, I think a lot of that is attributed to him laying low and knowing what time it is. You feel me?
Because Hannibal Buress ain't come on stage and tell everybody to look at it or something like that.
Right. Hannibal Buress is a spy. Hey, but Cal, what I was saying is, and you know what I mean, you probably might be out the loop, but right now, Jimmy Kimmel and a few others did some skits back in the 90s. He actually did one, you know, with Karl Malone, skin brown and everything, bro. It had Karl Malone looking nuts, even though, you know what I mean, it's fuck Karl Malone. But
right. Wait, was it actually Karl Malone?
It's like Twitter always finds their hands on old footage. And then tries to make people lose their job or try to, I guess, cancel. And it's like, it's kind of not too late, but this is like, it's not hidden. It just happened at a time that it was just like, you know, like if nobody else do a fucking pity party, then how can you dig that back up?
Yeah.
Right. Who does that? Who does that type of shit though? Like who? Are there people that, like, who goes back and brings that shit up? Like, is it out there already? Right? Or?
Cancel culture.
So how were you in 2009, Cal?
2009?
Uh-huh.
Oh, shit.
16? You were in high school?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So think about it. You had Twitter got popping in 2009, right?
Right.
And say you had a Twitter and you're in high school. You know, you was one of the top high school players at the time, but you're also a kid. Right. You're tweeting wild shit at the time, right? Now,
yeah.
Fast forward to your career now. You didn't delete your tweets. You didn't think nothing of it. And it's 2019. You had a great game. You actually just won a championship. And someone, some loser, finds a trigger word and finds a tweet from you being 16 years old. That's what cancel culture is now at this point. And it sucks because I hate that kids, you know what I mean? Like, I don't expect you to be in your right mind. You trying to get a joke at that time. You ain't looking
right
on serious topics or thinking, you know, 26-year-old me or 25-year-old me is going to be in this position or whatever. And I think it's just really right trash to, you know what I mean? Like, I tweeted the other day that Twitter is the journal that you don't want nobody to find.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because, like, if you think about it, 2009 to 2012, Twitter was a terrible place. Like, like people were saying wild shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I remember getting into it with Evan Turner randomly just over some bullshit just because I wanted to fuck with him. You know what I mean? Like, I was bored. So
you saying?
But yo, what is cancel culture though? Like, what is cancel culture? Like a actual service or something that does that, or what?
No,
is
it's not a service. It's not a service, but it gives power to, like,
that's funny,
loser ass people, miserable ass people that will make a fake account and find a way to ruin your life because they're not happy.
And what, they just keep on scrolling all the way down, or like,
nah,
how do they do
that? Trigger word. So we can type in your handle and then type in the N word, the F word, anything that's problematic.
Trey,
and if you
can
have never tweet
Trey, you
about
can
it,
say,
it's gonna
you can say nigga, Trey. You don't have to say
that word. All right.
Yeah, you're cool to say nigga.
Said nigga. I like I said, I don't know how strict the NBA shit is now, but I remember cats were getting fined left and right back in the day. But if you have some shit, you could be tweeting some lyrics. Like, I tweeted, male shouldn't be jealous, it's a female trait. And I had feminist Twitter all in my shit for like 2 days.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, bro, this is Jay-Z. Yeah. I don't think this. I just thought it was I'm just telling everybody, like, look, I'm listening to Hov. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
This
yeah
is where we're at now in 2019. It's kind of like, you know, Keenan Ivory Wayne said that In Living Color was getting so many complaints that people were showing up to the studio, but it was kind of too late because they were already in production. Now look at Roseanne's situation where she got canceled immediately off Twitter because we can watch something and be tweeting live and complain.
Yeah, but you know,
but Trey, here's the thing though. Like,
she deserved that though.
Yeah, it's justified.
Absolutely.
Like, you can't be running on Twitter calling black people monkeys and shit and then go on your show and be like, oh, I support Trump too. Like,
no, oh, no, nigga. I ain't saying that's okay. I'm just using her as an example how the power of Twitter is now.
Right, but that's the whole shit with everything in America or in general, right? It always starts with, like, something that's justified or, like, people kind of trying to do the right thing and then niggas just get out of hand. And so that's where it is. It's like niggas was trying to, like, you know, police all the shady motherfuckers who got weird motives and shit and trying to expose, and niggas did that, but niggas just got happy with it.
Everything's a problem now at this point, fam. Yeah, and look at that Rudy Gobert shit, bro.
Right.
I would have lit his ass up if he was my teammate. But again, we are targeting male mask, you know what I mean? Like, what are we, toxic masculinity?
My thing is, that's a problem. Like, people are taking things that are not, like, again, just like me and Jerv were talking about earlier, like, there's real shit to get mad about. There's real toxic masculinity to get mad about. Us making fun of a dude crying because he made the All-Star team is not that. That's the problem. And so there's a difference between, to me, there's a difference between when Jimmy Kimmel puts on blackface and acts like he Karl Malone. Man, that's just a joke. But Roseanne ain't joking when she talk about the president, or, you know, or President Obama, I should say, or Michelle Obama, or whoever. She not joking. She being real. That's who she really is. That's how she really feel. And that's the difference. It's people are taking what should be kind of lighthearted stuff and applying to it the same standards that people who are actually fucking up. There are people who try to, like, at one point say that what I do on Twitter is just like what the president does. I'm like, no, it's not, because I'm not signing no bill, no laws in effect, man. Like,
don't sell yourself short. I mean, you can do anything you put your mind to.
Thanks,
bro.
Thanks, Jerv.
And the lady she was talking about was Valerie Jarrett, by the way. But I feel you, like, 100%. Like, there should be a line of, we understand that this nigga's telling a joke and this shit is funny, and this nigga like he's a regular person that's a politician now that's going to some party dressed up in blackface with a KKK nigga. Like, we should be able to discern those two things. Like, that's obviously two way different actions at play.
Right. And so, like, the hard part is, that's why when we're talking about, when I was talking about, you know, Gene Wilder or whatever, all those dudes doing the blackface, like, how do you draw that line and say that everybody, because the whole thing is, we don't make laws for smart people who can see the difference between this and that. We don't make rules for that. We make rules for the idiots that need someone to say, hey, don't steal from people, because they'll come back and they'll want their shit back. Like, so how do we make it so that it's clear to everybody who can do this and who can't?
That's the almost impossible question. That's why we are right now.
The wrong people got the power, fam.
Let's lighten the mood.
We tried.
Yeah, we tried. We gave it our best effort. Last week, we did a lot better than we did last week with my man from Empire.
Oh, yeah.
Come
on.
Hey.
What's the truth? What's the fact on that?
Hey, my man said he was the gay Tupac, though. That was wild.
Anyways. Next topic. Let's lighten the mood a little bit. Do y'all want to go So Far Gone turning 10 or College Dropout turning 15?
Well, you know why we here. College Dropout.
Okay.
We're actually talking about Dude?
Hey, this is an album you have to acknowledge. I don't care.
Okay. I'm glad. It was one of my favorite albums.
This is an album that almost made me drop out, literally. Like, that's how much I was about that shit at 04.
Oh, man. So Trey, you heard the whole part about what he said. Oh, them degrees going to keep you cold at night or whatever.
My nigga, I felt that more than anything. I was working as a sales associate at Mervyn's, selling kid shoes, fam, and playing basketball, right? And that album hit, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, it hit a different type of feel. Like, I switched up my whole wardrobe. Hope had already told me to get rid of my throwbacks, but now I don't. Went to the thrift store and got blazers and polos. I'm wearing pink. Like, I'm wearing SB Dunks with my shoes. You know what I mean? With my fit. I'm trying to look like Polo Kanye. And, bro, I bought all the way in with him.
Dog, we was rocking so many polos, man. Like, every single style, everything with the collar.
College Dropout was actually the second album I remember my mother buying me, like, having it, like, a hard disk.
Shouts to mom.
I remember and everything. She copped it for me. So, yeah, that album always means something for me.
I'll usually tell anybody who will listen this story. And it actually probably helped me get into college. I ended up going to LMU. But, you know, long story short, I met Kanye when he was recording a Dropout. And I picked the skits, or I helped him pick the skits that ended up on the album. It was crazy. Yeah, because, you know, I was just heavy into producing at the time. I'm on Fruity Loops, the whole nine. His piano player was in my church. My pops was like, oh, you doing all that bullshit on the computer? Like, you need to fuck with a real musician. And so I played my beats for the piano player. And he was like, oh, who you like? And I was like, oh, I like this young dude, this new dude, Kanye West. And he was like, I'm working on this album. You want to come meet him? I'm like, fuck yeah. So went and met the nigga. He's playing the whole album. Shit was crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, Don C, his mom was there, everything. Like, this nigga's recording School Spirit, like, for the first time. Like, the whole shit was wild, you know? And so I'm thinking, like, the nigga's taking a liking to me because, like, oh, I told him I'm producing shit. But, like, looking back, I'm like, oh, to me, like, or to him, I was just his target audience, you know? So, at the end of the night, he just sat me, him, and the keyboard nigga.
The keyboard nigga is funny.
Disrespect my beat. Shout out to Urban Pope. That's my mentor in the game. The nigga's the OG.
he does his thing. But it was just us three after, like, all, you know, Tony Williams, all the everybody left. And he just plays like 30 minutes of D-Ray just riffing. And so basically any parts that I was laughing at, he was like telling the engineer, like, yo, keep that part, yo, keep that part. And basically all that shit ended up on the album. And, you know, like, he was typical Kanye, you know, all of the shit that people said about him, like, very egotistical. He's rapping to everybody in the room. Like, you know, somebody came in. I remember some dude came in for, like, a Barbershop 2 soundtrack. He was looking for songs. And Kanye is just playing him the album, telling him, like, this is the best song. Now, this is, like, you know, this is the best shit you ever heard. Like, you know? And he was just full in his bag. And
yeah, he still was trying to prove that he was a rapper, too, you know?
For sure. Because he don't really rap like that no more.
You know, I mean, I'm not the one that's going to have to say it. I never thought he could rap.
I
love this album. I love this
It's
album.
A lot of cats. You know what I mean, though? But I it's never a lot of cats that say that Kanye is their favorite rapper.
That's kind of crazy to me because
that's wild. But
his flows are whack. Delivery is terrible. But his beats are on fire. So I rock with his album because I love the beats. Well, let me ask y'all this. So around the room, what was your favorite track on this album? Trey, start.
It has to be Last Call, bro. The storytelling is like unreal. It's up there with Biggie's Story to Tell because of.
Whoa.
It is.
What do you mean?
Okay, please listen. Because actually, it's real life experiences. You got the genuine Hove laughing, bro, like a genuine Hove experience right there as the intro. And then he's really painting the picture of like everything. When you sit there and you listen to every minute of that song, you can kind of like go through the motions like, damn, this nigga got evicted. Him and his mom got in the car. They moved here. Like, that song was crazy to me, bro. That shit gave me chills. Now, it's a bunch of hard records on there, but Last Call is my favorite by far.
Jerv, what you got?
I was actually just looking through it again. I like everything. I damn like everything on this shit.
How you pick a favorite?
Yeah, I mean, if I had to pick a favorite, it'd probably be fucking.
Well, what song you played the most is pretty much kind of your favorite.
Yo, I play Jesus Walks a lot. One. I ain't going home. For real? Like, I fuck with Jesus Walks.
Oh, man. I thought
that was a rhyme pass.
I thought that was just too preachy, man. I'm like, bro, I don't need your religion.
It was different at the time, though, bro.
I guess. Like, the production was kind of different. I don't know. Kyle, what was? Hey, I'm surprised you didn't say two words, Jerv. To be honest with you, I thought Jerv would have.
I love two words, but yeah.
By the way, the only person who went with the two words kind of flow was Mos Def. Everybody else fucked it up.
Freeze flow is unorthodox to begin with, bro. So he got to do his own thing just off top.
I'm surprised nobody said get him high.
I was just about to say get him high.
Oh, like, so of all the time that I was in that studio, when that nigga played that song, that shit, I swear to God, sent a chill through my spine, dog. I was like, what the fuck is this?
I think the beat hit hard, though. That's why.
Because that was the main thing for us at that point.
B didn't come out before this, right? B came out after this, right? Common's album? B
came out after that.
After.
Kyle, what's your favorite?
It's gotta be either Get 'Em High or Family Business. The way he was just able to, like, you know, paint a picture of his family on Family Business was crazy. I got a good story behind that. This dude, like, every time I see Mike Conley, before the game, we get taped at 43. And this dude listens to College Dropout before the game every game. I don't know how he does that. And it's just crazy how I meet him at 43 before we get taped and he's bumping Family Business to get ready before the game. That shit just blows my mind.
That's like, and they're tight, right?
I can't get hyped for it.
Aren't him and Kanye tight now?
Yeah, he was telling me that he was kicking it over the summer.
That's a crazy time to be kicking it with that nigga at that time, bro.
That is a wild time.
That's a wild time to be listening to that bullshit. God bless Mike for that.
The hardest two bars on that whole album is on We Don't Care. The 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 drug game, bulimic, it's hard to get weight. So doing money is it's hard to get straight. Like that's some of the hardest two bars I heard, you know, I've ever heard in the rap game.
My shit was mayonnaise, colored beans. I pushed miracle whips.
Yeah, that was stupid too.
Yeah, that's why.
Because that's the niggas was naming their cars, bro.
But that's why I don't understand how people can say Kanye can't rap.
Yeah, can he rap?
Come on, Amin, we're not doing that today. We're not doing that. We're praising the album. Amin
about to pull up 808s and Heartbreaks and some shit.
No,
yeah, I fucks with 808 though. That was a good album.
My favorite track is Never to Let You Down, man. Like, cause
every fourth quarter, I got a Mike Jordan.
Yo, know, that what he said. I see the Rovers roll up with ribbons. I seen them resold, and redriven, like that whole verse. But the whole thing was, so y'all, I don't know if y'all remember this. It leaked, and so this song was one of the songs that leaked, and it didn't have Hov's second verse. It was just Hov, Kanye, and then my man, the spoken word dude.
You was the bootleg homie, Amin. So you knew about the college dropout mixtape that rolled out.
Yeah, and man.
It had the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I told that story. Told that story this morning about me and Dave Free, who is the president of TDE right now with Kendrick and them. And at the time, DJ Dave used to sell burnt CDs, and we were sitting in the bucket listening to this. You know what I mean? And the main track that we was trying to get was Slow Jams, but we stumbled upon the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that nigga was fucking rapping his ass off. I'm like, yo, this nigga is like, because, you know, I had just got off Fab. I was listening to Fab and Diplomats, so I needed something new. And, you know, that shit was like hooking to my veins. This new shit right here.
Y'all know Consequences is writing a lot of that shit, right?
Yeah.
Y'all know that, right?
It was like, a lot
that's
of that.
That's some shit. So you gotta say, you say, like, oh, yeah, I got the rappers. I'm like,
that's why Drake's on the same tier as this nigga, bro.
You know.
Wow. Don't do that. Don't do that, yo.
Don't disrespect what?
Don't disrespect Wise like that, man. Wise ain't feeling it. Oh, so.
Come on, man. If Wise cared like that, he'd be here right now.
Yes.
So true. Far gone. 10 years old. I remember the first person who put me on So Far Gone was Austin Day. It was it's the weirdest thing. Yeah, because I was driving the van for the pre-death workout, and he had the CD, and he put it in the. He said, "Hey, can we play this?" I said, "Sure." And we played it, and he started playing it, and I'm like, "Who's this?" And he said, "Drake." And I swear to God, I said, "The nigga from Degrassi."
That's crazy that you knew what Degrassi was.
I did because it was on like I think DirecTV channel 101 or something like that. There was some show I'd watch on DirecTV, and Degrassi would be on right before it. It kind of like you ever watch TNT, or you'd be watching the game, you wake up the next morning, and what's that shit called? Charmed is on, right? Like, you don't actually watch Charmed, but it's just on because you're watching TNT.
That's
before.
A funny ass show. That's that's like waking up in the middle of the night and MASH is on.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So there was a channel on like the DirecTV's channel is called 101, or it used to be called the 101. Now it's called Audience Network or whatever. And they had some show. It was some show where they like, it wasn't like a, man, it might've been, it was like a crime show or whatever, but I'd be watching it. And then, like, either before it or after, Degrassi would come on. And they'd say, sorry, you know, like, doo-doo-doo. And he'd come out with his wheelchair, and he all smiling and shit. I'm like, what is this corny shit? So that's why I knew who he was. But I just didn't know, like, he raps. Like, it's kind of like, oh, man. It's kind of like, remember Mac Wilds?
Where they told me,
Mac Wilds, the next from The Wire? Like, he's got a music career? Like, it just sounds kind of silly when you first hear it. Like, and then, like, you start yelling, all right, not bad or whatever. And so that's how I heard So Far Gone for the first time.
So I, too, was a bootlegger. And
shout out to everybody that bootlegged.
That bootleg, right? So this was actually the time where 2007 to 2010 was a weird era because albums were starting to get really trash. And everybody was putting, like, hard-ass mixtapes out.
Yeah.
And I had stumbled upon, because I was just Dat Piff heavy. Anything that was top 8 on Dat Piff or free on Smash, I was downloading. So I still to this day got a hard drive full of like
maybe 20,000 mixtapes, right? Random niggas like LA the Dark, like a lot of dark man niggas that I never listened to in my life. Got
you. Right? You were not listening to.
Nigga, I had a lot of dark men, bro. Any nigga that nigga, I had Asher Roth, all them shits, right?
Oh my god.
So
shout out to Asher.
So I had Comeback Season, which Drake had this fucking pea coat on. I don't know what's going on with it, but I'm like, let me listen to it. Now he's freestyling over a couple tracks, and I'm like, all right, this dude's cool. So during the time, Brandon's in high school, but he's getting ready to go to Italy. So while he's in Italy, I'm sending in on Skype all the albums I had on my hard drive. So I would send maybe like 20 albums a night and just leave them there on Skype so he can have them on his iPod. And So Far Gone came out in 09. So he was a rookie by then at the end of the season. This is like during the NBA Finals playoff, kind of. Not really. No, it came out in February. So, but it took so long to, like, I guess, develop a buzz because it was a mixtape too. And, you know, the whole thing of singing and rapping, that shit was kind of like the child of 50 Ja Rule-ish. You know what I mean?
Because it's not really 50 Ja Rule, dog. You got to give Ja's credit, yo.
All right.
There's no 50 Ja Rule.
Ja Rule-ish, right? Shout out to Ja Rule and his...
Man, that ain't fraud. That ain't fraud. Hey, that's but what about him? False advertising.
That's not fraud. That's not fraud. That is, I would call that false advertising.
What'd you say, Kev?
What about Nelly? Nelly gets no
before Nelly, though.
Yeah, Ja did do it before Nelly.
Ja did it before Nelly. Nelly was rapping when Nelly first came out, and then Nelly didn't really start singing until he did the fucking double diss shit.
So long story short, the mixtape was crazy to me. And it was being played by everybody, but it got so much of a buzz that like that should have been his debut album.
Hell yeah.
But you know, things happen and it became one of the, like, easily probably one of the greatest mixtapes of all time.
Right. I would say it's definitely top three. And
top three mixtapes ever?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. Yes.
I remember.
Look at Jerry about to have an aneurysm. In this.
I remember when I first heard it, and it's similar to y'all. It's just like, I had a boy who was big.
Damn, Jer. My bad.
I was a huge Drake fan before So Far Gone. And I'm telling this nigga, like, dog, nobody's going to fuck with this nigga. He's already rich. He's Canadian. Nobody's going to fuck with this when Comeback Season is out, right? And then I remember when Ransom came out. And I was like, oh, this
great
nigga.
Song.
Yeah, I was like, this nigga is tight. Like, I just had to switch my whole opinion, like, immediately. I was like, oh, okay. But I'm still like, I don't know if people's really going to be fucking with him. He's kind of corny, like, whatever. So the first time I listened to So Far Gone in full, I was with Pac Div and Swift D. And we was at their old apartment in Mid-City. And it was like all the lights was off in the apartment. It was just like a couple chicks, niggas in there playing 2K, smoking, whatever. And you could kind of feel the separation of just like the music that he was making, the music that they were trying to make, and the music that everybody else in the industry was making. And you could just tell, like, oh, this nigga's doing something different. Like, and it's working. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to NBA 2K8, by the way. That shit was fire with Chris Paul on the front.
Super. But yeah, that was just like, it was almost immediate. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was no, oh, we, you know, 2 weeks, whatever, gotta let this heat up. It was like out the gate. Everybody was just like, oh yeah, Drake. Like, you know?
I stand corrected.
Great. I played that 2K8 the whole season, though.
You said what?
You couldn't play that 2K8 the whole season, though.
No, nah, at the time I was a senior in college. So like I was playing my settings was crazy too, by the way. Like, niggas was playing on like 60 speed, 6 minute quarters.
What?
Yeah.
60. See, I never was one of them dudes, yo. Just check rock.
Nah, but we was playing for cash, Jerv. We were playing for $20 a game, bro.
Nah, so, like, I hear you. I just don't feel like
I don't mess with the sliders, man.
Don't touch the sliders.
You just told me you messed with the speed, man.
I mean, that, of course, that shit was too slow.
Nah, bro. I'm like, Jerv, check rock. Like, that's the game. You don't like the game? Go
play something else. Only thing I need to make sure, bro, is we on Hall of Fame. That's all I need.
Yeah, Hall of Fame.
Make sure it's on Hall of Fame, and then just check rock, yo. Like, let's not change no settings. Let's not make it easier or harder.
The new 2K ain't it. I ain't rolling.
What?
Nah.
I fucks with the new 2K. I didn't like it at first, though, bro. I like it now, though. It's realistic.
Man, if it ain't Red Dead Redemption, I don't want to hear about it.
I'm sitting next to my homie that hates the new 2K. Like, he hates it.
Hates it?
I like it though. I think it's realistic. I think you got to do more.
Yeah, it's more of a cerebral game. Like, you got to have IQ about your decisions.
You're not just out here just doing video games.
I can respect that part, right? And it was one person. It's two people, actually, I couldn't beat, right, at this time. Daniel Hamilton, who actually plays for the Hawks now. We used to call him Baby D back then. All this nigga wanted to do was play video games. He's the greatest 2K player I've ever played in my life. He finally quit playing video games and actually took basketball serious. And then Marcus Williams. This nigga Marcus Williams would be playing. He wouldn't guard the actual player. He would have the defense guard you and then just kind of intercept the passing lanes. But the nigga was super, like, heavy IQ about it.
I do that shit sometimes. I do that.
I don't respect you, bro. If you play with the best teams on the game and then you also don't guard me on the ball, like, I can't respect you,
fam. Why do people get so mad at that, though?
I don't know. It is a part of the game, though. I do respect that.
Like, my homies get mad at me about the same shit. And it's like, yo, don't worry about what I'm doing trying to win. Like,
don't worry about what I'm doing. You do you. I'm going to do me.
What's the consequences? Exactly. What's the consequences of a blowout?
20, you get dubbed, you're off the sticks.
So here we go. Yeah. There's a few entourages in L.A., right, that had wild-ass rules, right? So if you're a part of James Harden's entourage, right, and he dubbed you in Madden or 2K, right, at the time, you would have to stand in front of the screen with a $20 bill, right? So, and they would take a picture. And then we would play for push-ups called on demands, right? So we would say, we're going to play. Listen. So we'd be like, okay, we're going to play for 50 on demand. The on demands could be called upon anytime. You could be talking to a chick and be like, yo, give me 10.
Yo, that's cool. That's cool. I'll take that. I'm not doing
that. We had niggas doing push-ups in the club though, Jerv. That shit was the
shit ever. Listen, yo, that's just part of the game right there, yo.
Yo, Swift B is definitely the best 2K player I've ever seen. It's something about producing niggas and niggas that on the computer all day.
Niggas. Producer niggas need to be in the 2K league.
Along with keyboard niggas.
Keyboard niggas, stay away from keyboard and producer niggas, bro. Those niggas is wild.
Nah, you know why, Jay? Because they be on buses, and that's all they do is play video games on, like, when they're doing cross-country trips and stuff. My cousin and them, like, for them, it's FIFA. Them dudes play FIFA, like, every...
I love FIFA.
They play FIFA, so now that, like, when you hear about some random dude getting transferred from, like, third division Greece to, like, Chelsea, they know that dude. Because, oh, no, that dude is nice, and he got, like, a 65. I'm like, what are y'all talking about?
Are you talking about the FIFA niggas?
Yeah.
Yo, FIFA... Oh, they know everybody. Hey, FIFA Twitter is crazy, my niggas. Them niggas know everybody. I'd be like, how you even know this, bro? How you even know that team is that good?
Because they sit around and play all day. They literally sit around and play all day. Like, I'm talking about, like, a 14-hour, they drive from L.A. to freaking Salt Lake City, and they're doing nothing but playing FIFA the whole time, like, nonstop.
Yeah, that's sick. I'm cool. I'll be over that shit after a while.
Nah, FIFA's nice, yo.
No, it's cool. It's a good game.
But if you get into FIFA, trust me, bro, I thought the same thing. But there was a minute when I was up at ESPN, there was a minute. Everybody up there played FIFA. So I didn't really play 2K when I was up there like that because everybody played FIFA. And FIFA is crazy.
Like when you sit down, like it, I'm telling you, you got to give it a fair shot.
Hey, do y'all get winner's fatigue? No. And what I mean by like running the entire house or whoever's around, and then you want to pass the stick because you don't want to play no more.
Yeah, I've gotten up and walked away.
Like my nigga, I beat like five people in a row, and I was like, all right, y'all niggas is trash. I'm out.
I'm gonna tell you,
nah, bring me 2K, number six.
No, I'm gonna tell you right now. 2K was it 2K11, 2K12? Mm-hmm. I used to play with the New Jersey Nets, and motherfuckers would come in and laugh. Oh, he got the bum ass Nets. But what they didn't know was that Yi John Leon would dunk on everybody. Everybody. Just get all I had to do is throw it near the rim. That dude was dunking and everything. So Anthony Morrow was on that team. Anthony Morrow was wet from three. So I used to just I would just like run out there. Oh, I would sit Brooke Lopez. I would start Yi at the five. And then like I can't remember, my four man was really three man. I was one of the first small ball cats. In 2K11, like, we just shoot
that's a sick ass claim in Black
and Blue. I was the first one doing that. Man. I was shooting threes and dunking everything and running everybody off the floor.
2K is actually the one game where you're like a terrible ass GM, and you know what you need to do. You need to somehow have somebody that can dunk, someone that can shoot a three, and your big man need to be able to dunk every putback, like. Right. Those are mandatory. I remember niggas was putting Shannon Brown at point guard. I'm like, yo.
Yes, my point guard has to dunk. That's a must.
Oh, yeah. When I play with the Cavs, I definitely put Brown at point.
Yo, 2K7, Sasha Pavlovich was like killing, nigga.
Yes.
Like, that was a random person to have and get off with. Like, yeah, I had 17 with him. And he helped us win the game.
The Brandon Roy in 2K8, by the way.
Brandon Roy
was
nice.
Shouts to B-Roy. Man, we can go all day with this topic.
Yo, man. All right, so we got two topics left. We're gonna go dealer's choice. One of these we're not gonna do. We're gonna do only one of these. So we can either do Pusha T voted best rapper alive 2018. Or we can do 21 Savage, but that's kind of a week late now because everyone pretty much got that broke last week after we had recorded last week's pod. So,
okay, so pretty much basically, Pusha was voted by Complex as the best rapper alive of 2018, not of the decade or the past 20 years, Jerv. Okay, before you.
I got no complaints. I understand.
Okay, so do you believe that Pusha had the best 2018 year?
No. Yes.
I'm gonna say yes because
who said no? Who said no? Who said no?
Jason, I said
Why you say no, man?
I said I think Pusha had a good year, but he didn't have enough output. Like the 7-song album was extremely short. Like I get, and that was like 5 out of 7 of it. And I mean, did he really smash a lot of features? I mean, where is this greatest from 2018 coming from?
So I mean, I think that everybody's giving him that nod because he actually scratched Drake's face. Like, oh my God, this nigga's human. He actually can be touched. He had him. He stopped Drake World for maybe 72 hours, fam. Like, right. Niggas, you know what I'm saying?
I respect that for sure. For sure. And I was just looking at like Nipsey's, you know, album and how, you know, that kind of did a lot for him. And, you know, obviously, there's Kendrick. I mean, if niggas want to.
So this is my standpoint, Jason. I feel that Nipsey still, Victory Lap is still the album of the year. But I also think that J. Cole had the best features of 2018. I think that if I was to give a nod as far as, you know, awarding somebody, I would award Pusha T for what he did. Because everybody else is quote unquote, everybody say leave two light-skinned niggas alone, right? Yeah. Drake and Steph Curry. It's in the Bible. Leave them two light-skinned niggas alone. And he actually, you know, he pulled a Wesley Snipes and pulled up on them niggas.
Nah, he deserves a special award for getting Drake. And like you said, scratching his face. I can't deny that at all. But
and I think that's the only reason why Complex is like D-riding so hard.
I peep out great Pusha T. I'm not the biggest Pusha T fan, honestly. Like, he's nice. I'm not. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know. Every bar is just about is about drugs and selling drugs. Like, I don't know.
But he's consistent.
I ain't the biggest Pusha T fan, but he's nice. You can see it though. Like, you can see he got it for sure.
Yeah,
but for sure. You know, I wouldn't say he had the best year in the game. But
so who do you think deserves it in 2018?
Y'all didn't mention Meek. Like, what's wrong with that? Like,
nothing's wrong with Meek.
Wasn't enough.
Nothing's wrong with Meek. I think Meek is fine. He had a good comeback.
Great. Like, and I think his last album was great. So, like, I don't want to call it like a huge comeback, because his last album was really good to me.
Yeah.
But
Wins and Losses?
This album he just dropped, that shit, you know, top to bottom, that's probably his best work.
I mean, the production he brought in, Guru, and he tapped in with some, you know, he had some great samples. And then also, like, the sound quality was there. So, I mean, I'm not mad at that choice, because I hate the term comeback. Like, that's kind of cliche now. Nigga, you ain't been down bad like that, fam. But I understand.
Yeah, right.
I understand from the standpoint of, he was never coming back from back to back. Nah. Yeah. We pick and choose who we, you know, the fans pick and choose who's hot and who's not, right? But right. Niggas that really rock with Meek, the niggas that got the fucking unload and loading truck jobs and the I gotta get up, it's 32 below and go grind, them niggas is rocking with them. You know what I'm saying? That's the same.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Because different temperatures, you're gonna feel a different type of music, right? I always joke around about niggas that like Dave East. I think Dave East is good, but Dave East also makes D2 warm-up music.
Yeah. But so look, is Kendrick just like the LeBron, where he's just the best, but niggas don't give him the MVP every year? Like,
I'm gonna say Cole is Bron on that.
That Black Panther sound was hard
as fuck.
He had the Rich the Kid feature, which was hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, he did some. He was on Nipsey's album. That feature was hard. Like,
so my thing with Kendrick is he has tons of versatility. He can get on any type of track, right?
Right.
My only thing is that I really want to see somebody actually slap Kendrick on a track. Right. And really, he's never been challenged by a real opposing foe. And I need to see it.
But that's my point. Is he a lesser? Is he Floyd then? Because he can't. Nobody is on his level right now. He works.
No, I don't think that nobody's on his level. But I think he's respected enough that nobody's really trying to, like, really do that. I think Cole is the only person that can kind of friendly spar with him. Like, all right, bro, I'm gonna jab you really quick and let's go back and forth. But this ain't really no beef.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I really want some real beef, not where that he going to take at that point, because obviously he tries to pitch a different message. But I just want to see him hop in a ring one time. Like, I thought the Pusha T shit was healthy for rap.
I agree. But that's what I'm asking. Is his career diminished because people are too scared to get in the ring with him?
No, not at all. Not at all.
I mean, also, he didn't put out an album this year. I mean, like, the soundtrack, that was a compilation, right?
Shout out to my man Soundwave too.
They got
Future a Grammy. They got Future a Grammy today. Shout out to them.
Oh, shout out to that. Yeah. Do we give a fuck about the Grammys?
I thought
said we shouldn't fuck with the Grammys.
I'm still Will Smith with these Grammys, bro.
Yeah, man. All right. Well, damn, man. I think that's everything. I think that's everything on the list. We got anything else? Any other parting shots?
Anybody got to plug something?
Yeah, Boston, man. We got to plug Boston Live Show March 2nd. Tickets. Are they available? I don't even know. They might have been sold out, but they're not.
I haven't checked, but I think we still got general admission left.
All right. Well, if you still look and check at Jade Hoy, check his profile. He's got the link. All the ticket information you need. March 2nd, Boston at the Middle East in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Everybody going to be there. I'm going to be there. Jerry going to be there. Trey going to be there. Everybody going to be there. So definitely check that out.
And shout out Black History Month.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Nigga said, yeah, yeah, yeah. Shout out to Black History Month. Shout out to the nigga. Hey, shout out to the nigga that pretty much said, "Hey, what you about to do after he closed?" Like, he deserves a Black History Month homage. The nigga. Oh man,
that's a good.
I can think of some more, man, but it's some, I know it's some Black moments, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Shouts to the nigga that came up with, like, man, my car tripping right now, but I got you back. That's why niggas made Venmo and Cash App for real.
Yo, it's fucked up the whole game, man. I got you there now.
I ain't got no cash. That's what it's called. I ain't got no cash.
Yeah.
You're not paying that nigga back, bro.
Oh, man. All right, y'all. Thanks, Kyle Anderson, for joining us. Thank you, Madison. Thank you, Kevin Barber. Thank you, Serve. Thank you, Black Trey. Thanks, Rob, on the production. This has been Black Opinions Matter Monday. Remember, if you see white people in blackface, slap them.